Well, I want to open up the scriptures to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, in the very beginning. And I want to read just a few verses, but focus primarily on verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, I want to pick up from verse 6. Read along with me if you have your Bibles with you. And if you memorize this passage, well, good for you. That's exactly what you should be doing. All right. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Could we all stand for the reading and the honoring of God's word? This is the reading of God's word. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be prosperous wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be in dread or be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, God wants you to be successful, just like God wanted Joshua to be successful. He gave the secret to success here in this passage that we just read. That's why your Awana leaders and your teachers want you to be successful, and that's why they're teaching you the scriptures, because the scriptures, the Word of God, is the path to eternal success, not just temporary, short-term success, but eternal success. Knowing the Word of God is the path of knowing God Himself. Apart from God's Word, you will not know God Himself. And knowing God will lead you to a life that is a successful life, a blessed life, a joyful life. And He will lead you into His perfect ways, because God is perfect. Now, your parents want you to be successful, but sometimes we, even though we mean well, we love our children, I have three children of my own, we don't know how to lead them into success. We don't. We think we do, but we don't, if we are not following the blueprint of God's success. This is the way of true success. So, your parents want you to be successful, but before we continue, let's define, what does it mean to be successful? What is success? Well, let me give you what the world sees success and see if you can relate to this. I'll give you the dictionary definition. The favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors. Wow, those are fancy words. Two big words. How about here's a shorter one. The accomplishment of one's goals. Do you have goals, boys and girls? One day when I grow up, I want to be like this. I want to do this. I want to be successful in that. Right, those are goals. Here's another definition. The attainment, that is the gathering, of wealth, position, honors, or the like. This is what the people of the world consider success. And you have lots of money, wealth. Look how rich I am. Look how many things I can buy. Position. Look how high I am. Look at the kind of degrees or position I have. People recognize me and they respect me because I'm in high position. Or honors. They say, wow, that person graduated with high honors. That person graduated with higher honors. That person graduated with the highest honors. One of my children graduated with the highest honors, boys and girls. What do you think? Wow. Successful? Well, the Word of God defines success, because only God can give the honor. Only God can give the true wealth. Only God can exalt and elevate one's position from a lowly position, like a little shepherd boy youngest of 8 children, a little boy who wasn't even invited. David, who became a mighty king in the hand of the Lord, who exalted, and the Lord Jesus Christ came from the family of David. You see, only God can give true success. So there are two words here, prosperous and success. They are synonyms, which means they are similar meaning words. But neither of these words in the original language of the biblical language of Hebrew means financial success. It doesn't mean prosperous material success. It doesn't mean that you have all the collection of Pokemon cards and so you're successful. It doesn't mean you have the largest collection of pink puffy teddy bear dolls, so you're successful. You have the nicest wardrobe of pretty dresses, you're successful. No, those aren't the definitions of success. So what is the definition? Well, let's look at what Joshua had. Joshua had to lead this huge group of people, the Israelites, into an unknown land where the people were hostile. They were ready to fight them to the death. And Moses, the great leader whom God used to defeat the Egyptians with the 10 plagues, split the Red Sea open and sustained them, fed them, took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness, had died. He couldn't lead them into the promised land. Now, Moses' mentoree, protege, or student, if you will, Joshua, is now being called by God and saying, I've chosen you to lead the people. That's why God says, again and again and again, be courageous. Be very courageous. Don't be afraid. And then, instead of God giving, okay, here is the military strategy. Here's the way that you need to set aside the Israelite armies to attack. This is the way that you will win wars. God didn't do that. But he said, this is the way you will have true success if you read, meditate, keep, obey the scriptures. So the Bible and the spiritual success is true success. The Word of God leads us to ultimate success. At the end of your life, you will never say, oh, I regretted reading the Bible. I regretted keeping the law of God, the command of the Lord. I regretted building a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I regretted following His commands. I regretted it. No Christian has ever said that. They've always said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to finish the race. If I had another life, I would live it even stronger for you. But thank you for giving me a life, an opportunity to live for you. I am successful because you made me successful. And that's what I wish and pray that you would say at the end of your life. But God always gives us a decision to make. So let's take a look at what Joshua did and what God said to Joshua to do. Let's find out what God's word says about true success and how you can be successful in your life too, boys and girls. Now, the key to Joshua and Israel's success is the same. The key to Joshua's success is the same for Israel's success. And that is here, the law of God, the word of God, which Moses, God's servant, commanded. That's it. We have the same word from the same God given to us. Because the Word of God tells us about Him, His character, what God is like, what He did for us, what He did for Israel. So that's the key to our success. So Scripture says this in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has told you, O man, what is good. You want to know what's good? Here it is. And what does Yahweh require of you? But to do justice. You need to act justly. You must act fairly. You can't just be nice to your friends and be mean to everybody else. You can't. That's not just. You must treat all people with love and respect and equally. That's justice. To love, loving kindness, that means you need to be loyal, loyal to your parents, to your brothers and sisters, to your teachers. You need to know what it means to be loyal to them consistently and not be fickle and go by your feelings. But you need to learn to do what is loving and what is kind and how to do that in a consistent way. This is what God wants from us. And to walk humbly. You need to be lowly in your thinking and not even to think about yourself, but to think about God and think about others. You need to be so busy thinking about God and thinking about others, you don't think about yourself. You don't think about your feelings. You don't think about what you want or what you feel. You really think about, what does God want? What does He feel? What do other people need? How can I help? This is the way God wants us to live. This is the path of true success and true joy. People who live like this are very joyful people. People who don't live like this, they're very upset people. Because they're never going to get their desires met. So they're going to be very grumpy. So here it is. God says, don't turn to the right or to the left. If you want success, you have to be focused. That's what God says. So here we come to the climax of God's instruction to Joshua, verse 8. And I'm going to give you four things that you should be remembering from Joshua 1:8. Just these four things. The first, second, and third are all commands by God. If we can keep these three commands, we're going to be on the path of success. And the fourth is the result. This is what happens when you keep these commands. And I make it easy for you. But first, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And that is, we'll make it short. Keep the word. If it's not going to depart from my mouth, I'm going to constantly be talking about it, memorizing it over and over again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything in it. You may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. And you will have success. You will have good success. Prosperous. Success. This must be constant. So life is all about habits. It's all about habits. You have good habits. You brush your teeth every night before you go to bed. You make your bed before you go out to play. You wash your hands after you come back from playing before you eat. Good habits. You put your shoes away, nice, orderly. And after you wash your hands, do you take the little towel and kind of clean up on the sink so that the other person can have a nice sink to use? See? You have good habits, then you would do that. If you develop bad habits, it's like throw everything, it's like wash everything, you do whatever. And guess what? If you keep doing that, if you keep doing it over and over and over and again, that will be your lifestyle. You're going to be a very messy person. And not going to be very thoughtful of other people. You're not going to be very responsible in big things if you can't do these little things well. Now, all of us need work in this area. I need work in this area. But how much more of good habits in the Word of God? Keep the Word. This is what it means. Do you take Kleenex and you blow your nose and you, oh, how precious. I'm going to keep that for later. Or pick up another napkin. Oh, dirty. Oh, this is too precious. I'm going to put it in this pocket. Do you collect all the trash? No, I don't think so. You throw it away. Why? Because it's not valuable. What do you keep? Your favorite toys, right? Your favorite pictures, your painting, your photos. What's important to you? Look at the adults. What do they care about? Like cars, right? They take a nice care of their cars, their house. They have big toys too. They think that those are valuable. Mm-hmm. But do you see most adults having a Pokemon collection or a stuffed doll collection? No. Adults have grown out of that. But watch them. They have new toys and bigger toys. That's what they consider valuable. That's what they keep. Watch what they throw away, what they don't care about, and watch what they keep, and then you could see what they value. And the Word of God says, this book of the law, the Scriptures, shall not depart from your mouth. You need to keep it. You need to keep it. Keeping means guarding it. Keeping means valuing it. That's what this means. And the key to success is trusting and believing in God and His Word. Faith comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and the hearing by the Word of Christ. David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 11, moreover, by them, your word, your servant is warned. The Word of God warns us and keeps us from harm. In keeping them, there is great reward. If you keep God's Word, there's great reward, eternal reward. So keeping means safeguard, and you guard what is precious while you throw away what is useless. Most people in the world throw away the precious Word of God while they keep the trash of the world, which will rot with them. It will rust with them. It will be thrown into the dump of the world with them. But God's people are commanded to keep or guard the Word so that they may receive a great reward. That's the path to true success. What do you value? And that's why your teachers are teaching you to value the Word of God. The psalmist wrote, I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. You need to treasure. You need to value the Word of God. You need to keep it. All right, secondly, think the Word. Keep the Word, but also think the Word. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate. The Hebrew people, the people who originally received the word in the Old Testament, they meditated on it by murmuring it. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. And they even had a little, you know, motion to where the accents were, and so that they can keep the rhythm of it and chant the word. Right? Bereshit bara Elohim, et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. And they would just do this over and over again. They would murmur. And so what are they doing? So the Buddhists and the Hindus and other religions, when they go, you know, when they meditate, they're trying to empty their minds from thinking. They think that will give them inner peace. But no, it just makes you dumb. It doesn't make you inner peace. You have nothing in your head. One thought goes in this way, one thought goes out. No, true meditation is when you bring the truth of the Word of God and bring it into your mind and you mull it over and over again. That is going to give you inner peace. When you know His truth will set you free from all worries and concerns and fears and doubts. This is why God said, do not fear. Well, if God says it, then, if God is for me, who is against me? I will fear no evil. I will fear no man, because the Lord is my champion. So that's the meditation, filling your mind with the thought of God and filling your mind with what He did, filling your mind with what He said. Psalm 63, verse 6 says, when I remember you on my bed, this is the meditation of the man who is thinking, meditating. I meditate on you in the night watches. He's thinking about God, who He is, and His character. Psalm 77:12. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. He's thinking about all the things that God did in the Scriptures. He is thinking about the Scriptures, all the things that God did. These truths that describe and display God's character and His deeds are treasured in the heart. That's what the psalmist treasured. I've treasured your word in my heart. That's why your teachers and your leaders encourage you to memorize God's Word, so you can memorize and then think about it. Think it. And then, wow, what does that mean? How does that apply to my daily life? What can I do? And the constant meditation, not to depart from your mouth, literally means muttering day and night. Day and night means constantly. When I was a young man, I didn't have a developed taste for fancy foods. Just like you, I like chicken tenders and stuff like that, easy foods, right? But fancy foods like sushi and sashimi, I said, yuck, raw fish, no thank you. Cook some of that fish. But once it's cooked, it loses its texture. And so I didn't like raw fish when I was a young man. But later, as I got older, I developed a taste for fancy foods. Now I enjoy sushi and sashimi very much. The Word of God is like that. The more you chew on it, the more you consume it, the more you read, the more you meditate, the more you memorize, the more you understand, the more you practice, the more you see its incredible delight. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 10. They are more desirable than gold, even more than much fine gold. Ask your mom to buy you a big gold necklace, the real stuff, the 22 karat ones, and see what they say. They'll usually say no. And you say, why? Because it's too expensive. Gold is very precious. But here it says, your word is more precious than gold. And then it says, sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of a honeycomb. I have a jar of honey in my study, and once in a while, I take a little bit of it and enjoy it. It is super sweet. It is really sweet. And the honeycomb, that is just saturated with sweetness. And Psalm 119, 103 says, how sweet is your word to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Boys and girls, have you ever read the Word of God and memorized it and say, that's sweet to my soul? Anybody here? Anybody? Nobody? You have not developed a taste for it yet, huh? Yeah, it's like me when I was younger. I didn't like raw fish. But now I like raw fish. When I was younger, my parents took me to church. They never encouraged me to study the Bible. They never encouraged me to memorize Scripture. No one taught me. As your teachers are teaching you, as your parents are leading you, I hope that you will develop a rich taste for the Word of God, because that's the path of true success. Have you seen somebody eat good food and be grumpy? No, they're like, this is so good. They're happy. Eating sweet honey makes you feel, this is so good. Makes you delightful. Not like when you drink a bottle of vinegar. That makes you really grumpy. Well, Scripture says day and night, all the time. This was what Joshua needed to do. This was what Joshua was committed to do. The great benefit of thinking about the Lord is that the Word of God will help us to do what He says. And this is what God commands Joshua the third time. Now you see the Lord's command to keep the Word, to think the Word, and thirdly, to do the Word. To do the Word. Here it is. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So that you may be careful. Remember I said that when you guard, you value something that is precious? Well, that's the idea here. And you're careful to guard it, careful to keep it. So it takes care, not haphazardness. So to do according to all that is written in it, doing is the key, not just hearing. You can come to church or you can come to Awana, you can go and hear a lot. But if you do nothing about it, nothing's going to change. As a matter of fact, it'll be worse off for you, because you'll think that it's not that important. And you won't be on the path of success. But God wants you to be successful. Scripture says in James 1:22, become doers of the word and not merely hearers, but to delude themselves. Proverbs 16:3, the Word of God says, commit your works to Yahweh and your plans will be established. So yeah, when you do things for God's glory and the blessing of other people, God will ensure that you will be successful. Two greatest commandments is to love God and love others, not to love yourself. Loving yourself is a sin. It's a terrible, selfish, prideful sin. But loving God and loving others, oh, this is a life of success. And that's what we are commanded to do. And that's when we will be most joyful. Well, here's the conclusion of it all. The fourth point. What happens when we obey the word of God? Well, here it is. You have success. God says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's not enough to have the word of God handed to Joshua from Moses. Well, I got the word now. Moses is dead, but he gave me the word. Or I'll put it here in the ark. I'll safeguard it. I'll make sure nobody touches that. That's not what he's commanded to do. He's commanded to meditate on it, to study it, to internalize it, and to practice it into an obedient living. This is what Jesus commanded us too, to go and make disciples and to teach them to obey everything he has commanded us in Matthew 28. And so I want to end with an example of someone who is truly successful, who is truly blessed. And so if you have your Bibles with you, go with me to Psalm chapter 1, the first Psalm. You know, Psalm 1 is not doesn't have a heading, so we don't know who wrote it. And it's a very short psalm of only 6 verses. So let me read it for you real quickly. How blessed is the man. Now you could substitute the word blessed with the word happy, or we can even say how successful. Okay? Because if you're truly blessed, if you're truly happy, you're truly successful person. How blessed is the man. Notice the singular. It's one person, the man, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Here's the wicked people. This is plural. Nor stand in the way of sinners, plural. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers, plural. But his delight, singular, the blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, law of Yahweh. And in his law, he, singular, meditates day and night. You know who does that? This was the command given to Joshua. Who lives like this? We only know one person in all of human history who lived like this, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what, boys and girls? The name Joshua is the English pronunciation of the Hebrew Yehoshua. And Jesus' name is Yeshua. It's the same name. It's the same name. Tim and Timothy is the same name. John and Johnny is the same name. Johnny with the IE and Johnny with the NNY is the same name. Just because it's spelled a little differently doesn't mean it's an entirely different person, a different name. It's the same name. It's just an issue of spelling and pronunciation. Jesus is the Yehoshua of the New Testament, where Yehoshua, the student and the mentoree of Moses, was commanded to do this, not to be afraid, but to obey the word of God, meditate on it, to keep it, and then to do what it says, and then he will have success. Here is a description of a man who is successful. Look at it. Verse 3, and he will be like a tree, singular, he, planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, singular, he prospers, singular. Who's the most successful human being in all of human history? It's the infinite God-man, the God who became man and took upon himself humanity to give everything for us in sacrifice, to honor the Father's will and to do the Father's work as the Son of God. To love God and to love others, the Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of love. He is the fulfillment of the law. He completely and perfectly kept the law. He is the most blessed, successful man. And whatever he does, he prospers. What did God promise to Joshua? You will have good success. You will be prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. make your way prosperous. The same Hebrew word appears there in Joshua, appears here in Psalm 1. Let's finish. The wicked, this is plural, the wicked people are not so, but they are like chaff, plural, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, plural, will not rise in the judgment, nor sinners, plural, in the congregation of the righteous, righteous ones, plural. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, righteous people, plural. He knows the way of the righteous people, but the way of the wicked people, plural, will perish. The way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. What did God say to Joshua? You will make your way prosperous. The way means a lifestyle, life direction, step by step. You're making a decision to go somewhere. You see, people who don't love the Lord, they don't care about the Bible. They're not going to read it. They don't know God. They don't care to know God. It's like that used tissue that they throw away. That's why they don't spend any time in it. They don't see any value in it. Whereas they think that making lots of money, having lots of positions and high degrees and being honored and having titles and exalted by people, this is true success. But you know what? They will all perish. That's what the Bible says. The way of the wicked will perish. That is a foolish way. That's not success. That's failure. Utter failure. And they eternally will fail. But the eternal success is the way of the righteous ones who follow the most blessed man here. And so if you want to be the right part of the righteous people, then you have to be people of faith. And if you want to be those who follow Jesus Christ, the path of success, then we need to follow the Lord on the path of discipleship. This is the way of true success. And the Word of God, meditation, and obedience to it will take us there. That's why God wants you to be successful. This is true success. And when you follow Christ, I will assure you that you will never regret it. At the end of your life, you will say, "Ah, man, I should have done other things instead of serving Jesus." You will never have that regret. But if you do the other thing, following the courses of the world, you will regret. I will guarantee you, you will regret. I should have followed Christ. I should have read the Bible. Submitted to the Lord. So, we come to the conclusion. Joshua is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the greater Joshua, who is the blessed man of Psalm 1, who is successful in all that he did, and that's why God exalted him to the highest place in the universe as the infinite God-man. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. All the kingdoms of the world, all the possessions of the world are his, and he will return and rule over all. But all the wicked who follow the pattern of this world, they will perish. So you want the path of real success, or you want an easy way that you can live for yourself? This is what is laid before us. And your teachers and your leaders here are committed to teaching you the Word of God so you could keep it, that you could think it, and then you could do it so that you will find true success. And I pray that God will make you so happy, so joyful, so successful, and you would know it is because you trusted in the Lord. You submitted to Him and you obeyed His word. And you love Jesus and you love other people. And you will be the most successful person then that you could ever be. May the Lord bless you, as this is not somebody else, but this is you and this is your path that you will live for the glory of God and for your eternal blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a reminder of the path of true success. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the one who gave everything for us is the one who would receive all glory and honor. We thank you that he is the greater Joshua, the greater blessed man, who is truly the king of the universe, the creator of the world, who has become our redeemer and soon and coming judge and the eternal ruler. We thank you for giving us a portrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ, one who is humble and meek, one who is loving, and who accepted sinners, forgave them, and yet who was angry and who rebuked those who were phony and fake. Lord, we pray for these young people, these young souls, that you would grant them a taste for the Word of God, a greater value, the preciousness, that they will cherish and keep your Word, and that they would think about you through the Word, and that they would obey your Scriptures and find a richness of your success, and you working through them and in them. And so, Lord, we commit these young people to you, giving you thanks for all those who guided them, taught them, and mentored them, and ask that there will be many more of their kind, of those who love Jesus and who are committed to serving him. In Jesus' precious name, amen.